اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. يا الله، I've come again tonight. This is Thursday night, in addition to it being the month of Ramadan. Tonight is the night of Hussain. Ya Rabb al-Hussain. بحق الحسين اشف صدر الحسين بظهور الحجة. يا الله، I've come again to your door to plead to speak to you to remind myself of your greatness, of your mercy, of your blessings, and of my shortcomings, of my problems. With your mercy, you can shower me, and I'm hoping for it, and I'm asking for it. And I'm begging for it. Although when I think, I see the fact that I'm here asking you as a mercy from you. You brought me back here to ask you for forgiveness. How is it possible that you bring me here to ask you to forgive me and you don't forgive me? Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Kareem, Ya Rauf, Ya Allah, tonight you brought me here, you reminded me of your Hussein. I ask you by his last breath, his last words, his last difficult moment, while he was drenched in his own blood on the soil of Karbala, saying, Ilahi, radan biqadaik. Oh Allah, I'm pleased with your will. La ma'buda siwak. There's no one worship but you. I ask you, by the blood that gushed from his throat, I ask you, by the desperation of Zainab, while she was watching the scene from Tal Zainabiyya, I've come to your door with these shufa'a that you have given me, the love of Hussein that you have given me, the love of Zainab that you have given me. Please forgive me, help me be for the Imam of my time, like Zuhair was to Imam al-Husayn, like Habib was to Imam al-Husayn, like the Shuhada of Karbala were to Imam al-Husayn. Brothers and sisters, we have a limited window this month of Ramadan to plead to Allah. Tell him, I can't do this. If you leave me to myself, I'll never be able to be a good servant, a good soldier for the Imam of my time. I need you to take control. I need you to take care of my affairs. I need you to change my heart. I need you to change my desires. I see things that you have forbidden. I can't control my desires. What can I do? I'm weak, Ya Allah. But you're all powerful. If you take control, you can change my heart, my desires, my inclinations. Ya Allah, by the right of the Prophet, by the right of his household, by the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Shaheed of this month, by the right of Zahra, by the right of Imam al-Mujtaba, the one who was born in this month, Ya Allah. Allahumma inni yaftatihu al-thana'a bihamdik. وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. غرفتي فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده الظاهر بالكرم مجده الباسط بالجود يده الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيد كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك ولعل الذي أبطأ عني وخير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي يا ربي إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فارق الأصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنية قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني، فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين، مبير الظالمين، مدرك الهاربين، نكال الظالمين، صريخ المستصرخين، موضع حاجات الطالبين، معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها، وترجف الأرض وعمارها، وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق، ويرزق ولا يرزق، ويطعم ولا يطعم، ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى، وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير، وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك، أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين. وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين. صل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة. وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك ومنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا. يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المهم به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجلوه وبضر تكشفوه ونصر تعزوه وسلطان حق تظهروه ورحمة منك تجللنا وعافية منك تلبسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Hello? You guys hear me? I can hear you. Hello? Hello, 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 hello? Hello? Can you hear me? محمد وآل محمد صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. मेरे मौला के मोहतत हुई है सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते। मेरे मौला के मोहतत हुई है सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते। गुजरती है जैसी गुजारेंगे मौला, नहारी है हिम्मत नहारेंगे मौला। सितम थक गया है हुआ कुंद खंजर, लहू मोमिनों का बहाते बहाते। मेरे मौलाओं के मुद्दत हुई है सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते। गुजरती है जैसी गुजारेंगे मौला, नहारी है हिम्मत नहारेंगे मौला। सितम थक गया है हुआ कुंद खंजर, लहू मोमिनों का बहाते बहाते। मेरे मौलाओं के मुद्दत हुई है सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते। कहीं ना हमातम कहीं याहुजारी, सफर करबला का मुसलसल है जारी। झुके जा रहे हैं ज़ईफों के कांधे, जवानों के लाशे उठाते उठाते। मेरे मौलाओं के मुद्दत हुई है सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते। लईनों ने हम पर मजालिम उठाए, जवां साल लाशों पे लाशे उठाए। चले हैं शहादत का सेहरा सजाए, वो शादी का सेहरा सजाते सजाते। मेरे मौलाओं के मुद्दत हुई है सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते। खुदा जानता है वो कैसा था मंजर, कलेजे पे आबिद के चलते थे खंजर। जवानी ज़ईफ़ी के दर पर खड़ी है, सकीना की तुर्बत बनाते बनाते। मेरे मौलाओं के मुद्दत हुई है सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते। जो बहने हैं जिंदा तो भाई नहीं है, है है माँ बाप बाकी तो बेटे नहीं हैं। जो बेटे हैं बाकी तो साया नहीं है। जिगर कांपता है बताते बताते मेरे मौलाओ के मुद्दत हुई है। सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते अति सुहरा के लब पर सदा ये दुहाई, चले आओ बाबा चले आओ भाई। अटकती है सीने में अब मेरी सांसें, तुम्हें देर हो जाए न आते आते मेरे मौलाओ के मुद्दत हुई है। सितम जालिमों के उठाते उठाते दूर भेजे मोहम्मद।
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وحج الفرج. Tonight we are commemorating the wafat or the martyrdom one way or another of the great uncle of the Prophet, the father of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abu Talib, alayhi ridwanullah wa rahmatuhu al-wasi'ah. This great man that was, while he was alive, the main supporter of the Holy Prophet in Mecca. As long as he was alive, Mecca was a place where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi could continue preaching and propagating his message. As long as he was alive, the enemies of Islam, the kuffar of Mecca, the elite of Mecca, were not able to lay a hand on the Prophet or on his major supporters or major companions and followers. They were able to hurt some of the followers of the Holy Prophet, but not all, and not the Holy Prophet himself at all. It was only after the demise, which can be referred to as martyrdom because his health conditions deteriorated due to the hardships that were caused by his struggle for Allah, for Islam, for promoting and strengthening Islam, the hardships and difficulties that led to his demise were because of that great work, and therefore that was a jihad in the way of Allah that he was part of, and his death was not a normal death and a death that of someone who is just minding their own business and doing their own work and so on. No, it's a person who is struggling in the way of Allah, in support of the Prophet of Allah, in the support of the religion of Allah, promoting that religion and so on. Therefore, that is death in the process of jihad fi sabilillah caused by the hardships that he had to bear in that jihad, in that struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's martyrdom. There is a lot for us to look into, to discuss, to learn in regards to Abu Talib, instead of simply having debates or discussions, and after I don't know how many centuries, just talking about whether Abu Talib was a believer or he wasn't. Some say he was, some he, we know he's a believer. Let's get past that. There's a lot more to Abu Talib and what he did and what we can remember than just simply coming to the point that, oh, he was a believer. No, he wasn't just simply a believer. He was the biggest supporter of the Holy Prophet. What he was able to do in terms of support of the Prophet in Mecca, Amirul Mu'mineen on that level was not able to do. His father was able to do. He was the chief of Banu Hashim, the leader of Banu Hashim. The respect he had, the position he had, the number of people that listened to him. When he supported the Holy Prophet, no one could dare want to have plans to take the life of the Holy Prophet. Whatever they did was way below any of that. That type of support Abu Talib was able to do. Salamullah alayhi. This great man. He's not simply a believer. He's much more, much, much greater than just simply a believer. There's a lot that we can learn. We should learn from Abu Talib. One of the things that I would like to mention here that I want all of us to think about and to try to think of ourselves in those conditions. We recently had, these last couple of days, the German government taking an outrageous position and considering Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. The Germans have the terrorist military of the United States based in their land, and that's not classified as terrorism. The ones who created ISIS, the ones who armed ISIS, the ones who trained ISIS, the ones who supported ISIS, and are still doing so and transferring their leaders and commanders from Syria to Iraq to create some more mischief in the near future. We should see what is going to be panning out with these developments that they're trying to do inside Iraq. The terrorists who tried to terrorize the people of the Far East, the people of the Middle East, to submit and to subdue those people. They're in your territory, in your country, since the Second World War. They're not terrorists. They're not identified as terrorists. Hezbollah, that has not only been an organization that has liberated the land of its people, that their government was not able to do, protected the lives of the Lebanese people against the aggressions of the Zionist state and the Zionist regime and the Zionist military and their backers, the United States of America, on multiple occasions. Not only that, even in terms of taking care of Israeli prisoners and the transfer of and the trading of the prisoners that happened through Germany, they should know that these are the people who are true to their word, are loyal people, are straightforward people, are truthful people. They identified them as terrorists, and then they raided the mosques there that they said are affiliated, and people's homes, and God knows what is happening there. There were people that were supportive of Hezbollah, this organization that takes pride in serving in the direction of Allah, struggling for Allah, supporting and protecting the people for Allah. And there were people that were supporting them, rightfully so. There's a price that you're going to be paying. Let's look at the conditions of Abu Talib and see what he did, and see what we do and what we're doing in light of what is happening. This is one example. It's not the only one. People's houses have been raided after certain occasions, certain events, things happening. They raid people's homes in this country, Muslims' homes, confiscate material, go and start framing people, and so on and so forth, because the person was a supporter of the Islamic Republic, a supporter in words, and supporter in the direction that is presented by the leadership. These things have happened, and they will continue to happen. Abu Talib, rahmatullahi alayhi, wa ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi. When the Holy Prophet started his mission, the son of Abu Talib, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullah alayhi, Khadija, these were the only two believers that were with the Prophet. And then Abu Talib joined at that early stages and he started supporting them. If he would have decided not to support the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, if he would have decided not to get involved in this, obviously he would have had the respect of the elite of the city, the environment. They didn't have a country really back then, no centralized government, but whatever, the closest thing to it were the elite of Mecca. They were the rulers of the Arabs pretty much. He would have had the support, he would have had the respect of those people. By siding with the Prophet, by siding with his son, who is a young boy, he's only 10 years of age. We've heard the story. I want to remind us so that we sort of get the feel for this. أنذر عشيرتك الأقربين. The Holy Prophet was commanded by Allah to have a session and to notify his close relatives of Quraysh, the elite of Mecca, about his message, about Islam, about him being a messenger of God. When he set up that session, and Ali ibn Abi Talib cooked the meal, Abu Talib was there along with Abu Lahab, along with Abu Jahl, along with Abu Sufyan perhaps, a number, the Ashira of the Holy Prophet, they were all gathered there. An old man, Abu Talib, and the Holy Prophet stands and he addresses and says, who is willing to accept my message so that he will be my successor? Ali ibn Abi Talib stands to become the successor of the Holy Prophet. When the session was over, the elite of Mecca, they started mocking and laughing and making fun of Abu Talib, telling him that now your son, this 10-year-old boy, is your master. Making a laugh, getting a laugh out of that, laughing at Abu Talib. It's evident that Abu Talib was clearly in their eyes in that line, and with Ali ibn Abi Talib, with his son. That old man is accepting the wilayah of his son at age 10. And look at the treatment he gets from the elite of Mecca. Obviously, that's not the only treatment. The embargo or the boycott of the Prophet that happened, it was against the Prophet and his followers, the main supporter of which was Abu Talib, so it's against him as well. And he's the one of the probably the people that was affected most by it. Not only was no one now going to trade with Abu Talib with his difficult conditions and the large family he had, and now he is taking responsibility to support the Prophet with everything he has and all the people he has, his tribe and all of that. They're all looking up to him. Now he's got to dedicate his property. Shi'bu Abi Talib is where the Prophet and his companions went and stayed at. He could have avoided all of that. Being the follower of the Prophet, accepting the authority of the Prophet, meant that he needs to put his business, his family, his house, his belongings at risk. That's what that meant. That's what that meant. And Abu Talib did it. Abu Talib paid the price for it. Today, brothers and sisters, we have similar conditions. There's a price that you need to pay if you're going to be supportive of the Prophet, if you're going to be supportive of his son, the Mahdi, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif wa salamullahi alayhi, wherever he is. Supporting the movement that is leading towards the coming of the Imam of our time, the Islamic Revolution, which is the dawn of the revolution of the 12th Imam. Supporting that, there's a price to pay. Hezbollah is one of the factions connected to that movement and the movement of the Imam of our time. If you want to support it, there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. You're going to be identified as a supporter of this movement. They have classified this organization as a terrorist organization, according to them. And now if you want to support them, there's definitely a price to pay. And what are you going to do with that? You're going to abandon? That's the whole objective. You think Hezbollah had businesses in Germany? Do you think Hezbollah is carrying out operations from Germany? They don't do that because that's not the way they function. That's not the way believers function. They deal with the Zionists inside Lebanon. They dealt with them. Or if the Syrians asked Hezbollah to assist and to help out, they went and helped their brethren in Syria. They dealt with the Zionists in Syria, in Lebanon, in the occupied lands themselves when they transgress and they start an aggression. That's how they deal. You think they were having these operations in Germany? Absolutely not. What new war, what new campaign is there? No. That's not the objective. You think that political operations were being carried out, political campaigns, political agendas were being taken care of in Germany, and that's why now they came and classified the whole of the organization, not just the military wing, to be a terrorist organization? No. The objective is to pressure the popular support there is for Hezbollah. They want the people, Lebanese and otherwise, who support Hezbollah, not to feel that they can do so, to think twice about that. As Sayyid Hassan has mentioned many times, the most important thing, the most important asset that Hezbollah has is the support of the believers, the mu'minun. That is a great asset that Hezbollah has. They want the mu'minun not to feel comfortable to support Hezbollah. That's the objective of that. They want the people not to support Hezbollah. Are we allowed? When we know the enemies of Islam want something, then the Quran tells us that we are obligated. لا تطع الكافرين. Do not obey them, meaning do not do what they want. If they want us not to support Hezbollah, we should make sure we do support Hezbollah. That's just the Quranic instruction and guidance that's there. It's very simple, very simple. What the kafirun want, make sure they don't get it from you. You do what Allah says. Allah tells us, المؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض. We as believers have got a bond of wilayah. A bond of wilayah means that we're going to support each other in the direction of Allah. The bond we have with Allah, with the Messenger, with the Imam of our time, and with those who are moving us towards the Imam, we have a bond of wilayah. We've got to support. That's what the Quran says. The kuffar, The United States of America and the Zionists pressured the German government. Now they all collaborated on this, and they classified Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. God says, "Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat ba'dhum awliya'u ba'd." You have the relationship of wilaya. You need to support the cause of Allah. The kuffar say it's banned. You're not allowed to. You have a fork here in your path moving forward. You either choose Allah or you go the other way. Allah says, لا تطع الكافرين. Don't go the other way. Don't go the direction that the kafirun want you to go. We have a responsibility now, more than before, to have support of Hezbollah. And know that, and Abu Talib, one of the things we can learn from him, instead of just mentioning him, say, oh, he was a good person, he was a believer. No, he was a mujahid fi sabilillah. He supported the cause of the Prophet at a time where you had to pay a significant price, and he paid every penny of it. We're commemorating Abu Talib. We've got to learn this. We've got to support Hezbollah. We've got to support the movement. We have to support Ansarullah in the people of Yemen. We have to support Al-Hashd al-Sha'bi in Iraq. All of the munafiqun and the kuffar that are trying to stop Hashd al-Sha'bi from doing what it's supposed to. It is our responsibility to support Hashd al-Sha'bi, whether you're Iraqi or not. The Islamic Republic, the leadership, this is all the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, the accomplishments of the Ahlul Bayt, moving towards the coming of the Imam of our time. We have a responsibility to support this. Is there a price to pay? Absolutely. You can't be living under the rule of these tawaghit, these rulers that do not rule based on the law of Allah. They have an alliance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Don't have wilaya with the Christians, with the Jews, with the kuffar. They have wilaya with one another. Don't expect for the United States of America to have wilaya with the people of Iraq, to have a wilaya with the people of Lebanon, have wilaya with the people of Yemen. No, they have wilaya with the rest of the kuffar. Don't try to form bonds of wilaya with them. Germany just proved it another time after so many different times. You expect that you live under the rule of these governments and taking the stances of the Prophet, taking the stances for the Imam of our time, taking the stances that the Quran says, these kuffar that are leading in the opposite direction are going to just allow you to move forward, not cause any trouble, no problems for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that's not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's not the case. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. You think you're going to go to paradise without dealing with the kuffar, without going through the struggles that they're going to create for you? People of the past have gone through that. Nations of the past. Every prophet has gone through this. Every follower of every prophet has gone through this. Our prophet went through this. The followers of our prophet went through it. Amir al-Mu'minin went through it. Imam al-Husayn went through it. Imam al-Mujtaba went through it. Every single one of the imams and their followers has gone through it. Husayn ibn Ruh, the third deputy of the 12th Imam, was imprisoned. And God knows what type of torture he was given. Because they figured out that he is, or they got wind of, maybe he is the deputy of a living imam, that they don't know where he is. Perhaps they can get their hands on him. There's a price to pay. We're living out here. We're not living out here to praise the systems here, the governments here, for giving us freedom, for giving us comfort, for giving us these things. They're not trying to give Islam and Muslimin that comfort. If they were, they would allow the Muslimin to give themselves that comfort in their own lands. Why do they install and bring to power and support tyrants in that region? Whether it's the Saudi dynasty or the Egyptian government. And then you have the Libyan people rising against their government, all these tyrants that are either the Western kuffar directly themselves, the EU and the United States, engaged in an operation against the people over there, or it's so-called Muslim governments that are puppet governments. They're controlled by their masters, which are the West. Allow the Libyan people to live their own life. They can give themselves comfort. You just don't interfere with their matters. You don't need to help them. Allow the Iraqi people to create comfort for themselves. They're fully capable of doing that. They're not here to give Muslimin comfort. If they wanted to, they should have left the Muslimun to themselves. Leave the Bahrainis to themselves. They had a revolution. So many attempts every single time. The people of Bahrain, over the course of their history, their recent history, in the 50, 60 years that we have read, they've come to a point where they're almost there where they can rule over themselves and have the liberty to make decisions, take their own fate in their own hands. It's been some Western government, the British or the Americans or a combination or the Zionists or whatever that's come forward. In this last case, the Saudi military driving through, cracking down on the people, killing the people. Governments aren't here to give you comfort. If you're here, you're here as a Muslim, as a follower of the Prophet, as a follower of Ali ibn Abi Talib, as a follower of Fatima al-Zahra, as a follower of Imam al-Mujtaba, Imam al-Hussein, the Imam of our time. We've got to do what is right. And what is right is support the cause of Allah. And know that there's a price to pay for that. If you're here for the dunya, and you prefer the dunya over the akhirah, that's your choice. People have that choice. If you want to be a Muslim, make no mistake about what Islam says. Islam says you've got to prefer the akhirah over the dunya. There is a price to pay. You want to support the movement of the Prophet that manifests today in Hezbollah, in the Islamic Republic, in Hashd al-Sha'bi, in the Yemeni's movement. Islam says you got to support them. And if there is a price to pay, pay that price. Pay the price. Not that, no, protect your material goods, protect your family, all costs. Do not support, don't talk about this, don't mention them, don't support them, don't do anything about that. This is what we learn from Abu Talib. This is what Abu Talib did, this Mujahid fi sabilillah, that was able to bring people in support of the Prophet. Abu Sufyan and his people, with the military that they had, the whatever we can call it, the troops that they had, the people, the warriors that came for the battle of Badr, they were there while the Prophet was in Mecca. What happened? Why didn't they come? Abu Talib is not just a man. Abu Talib was able to bring people. We've got to bring support. Bring support for the cause such that the German government would not have the audacity, would not have the guts. They would think twice before they would classify Hezbollah as a terrorist organization, because they would fear the wrath of these believers. Not in a military, let me get this straight. We're not what they depict of us. Abu Talib did not start massacring the Meccan kuffar to have that strength. The Islamic Republic did not massacre Americans to create that fear that the Americans have of the Islamic Republic. Whether it was in the so-called hostage crisis, the believers in the Islamic Republic, they imprisoned these spies that were spying. The evidence is there. It's been printed. Their own documents. And the plots they had against the Islamic Republic and the people there. In that case, what did they do to those people? These people deserved a severe punishment. They were kept there. The African Americans and the women were released. They went back home. The white males were kept there. then they were kept well. Or when the Americans crossed over, they said it was a mistake, they crossed their boundary, the Revolutionary Guards caught them. What do they do to them? What would have the Americans done if somebody would have trespassed? Easily, a couple of missiles destroyed the whole thing. Like, yeah, they trespassed. That's not what the Islamic Republic did, although they had. They were fully capable. Don't think, oh, it's the Americans, they were afraid. No, that's not the case. They could have. They didn't. Because this is what Islam is telling us. Hezbollah didn't create assassinations in different parts of the world. That's what the CIA does. That's what Mossad does. That's what these people do. That's what the MI6 does. Islam doesn't tell us to do those things. No, the wrath of the believers is the numbers of people on the street, the masses coming in support on the street. Like on the day of Quds, inshallah, we'll see some form of that throughout the globe. It will be, definitely. It's a responsibility. The masses showing up on the streets in support, Allah makes that, creates such a terrifying fear in the hearts of the disbelievers, they dare not to deal with the believers. That's what happened with the revolution. With the revolution, the Islamic revolution in the Islamic Republic, they didn't come out and start killing the Shah's people. No, people went out without arms. They didn't have guns. Imam Khomeini didn't encourage that. Some people wanted to do that. Imam Khomeini said, that's not going to do this. We need people to realize they need to come and support and show their support by coming out to the streets in person. They did that, the revolution succeeded. And wherever that recipe is there, if they continue doing that, if they have the forbearance, the perseverance to continue, that victory will come. This is a promise. This is what we have before us, brothers and sisters. We have a responsibility to get stronger. Stronger in faith. Stronger and clearer in the understanding of Islam. And make sure we do what Islam says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ الْوَارِثِينَ. It's God's will, نُرِيدُ, to empower the مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ. If you are a believer here, trying to do what Allah says, and they give you hardship, you are a مُسْتَضْعَف, that the Quran has mentioned. And God says, my definite will is for these people to be victors, to win, to make progress, to grow stronger, to become the rulers of the world. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is definitely true. 110% true. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of these. People have paid a price. Hezbollah in Lebanon has paid a price. People who worked with Hezbollah during the time of the Israeli occupation in the south, there were unfortunately Lebanese Shia that were spies for the Zionists. The Hezbollah fighters are Lebanese Shia. The real ones, and then there's people that identify as Lebanese and identify as Shia, and they're spies for Israel. They had to be careful, and they would get caught, and people would be tortured. The torture chambers of the Zionists when they left in 2000, I still remember people breaking into those prisons, opening the doors, releasing these believers. These were believers that supported Hezbollah. How did you support? Were you a fighter? No, they weren't even fighters. Just supporting Hezbollah. And if we want to be the followers of the Prophet, followers of the Imam of our time, part of the movement of the Imam of our time, there will be, there is and there will be a price that we need to pay. What we can learn from Abu Talib, brothers and sisters, is to be like him, to support despite whatever the consequence may be. Bring people. Abu Talib brought his tribe in support of the Prophet, not as an individual. Bring whoever you can. Support the cause with not just your own voice. Bring more people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised this movement to be victorious, this movement to grow stronger and stronger. And it cannot be stopped. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِحَوْلِهِ وَقُوَّتِهِ inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah to help all those who are helping His cause. We ask Allah to help the, especially our ulama, our maraja, and also our leader. We ask Him to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, especially those who are struggling with hardships, difficulties, economic difficulties because of the condition. The conditions that we have because of the virus. Ya Allah, relieve the people of the world of the difficulties of this virus by providing us a cure. We know You give and You have created all beings, and this virus is not outside of Your control. And the cure of it You have created as well. And show us, help the believers find it and share it with the world so that everyone be relieved of this and receive the cure of it, inshallah, and life can go back to the norms that we were experiencing. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Ali rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.